Welcome to Bravo Breakdowns, your podcast study guide for reality TV. Every Thursday, we cover an entire season of brawling, boozing, and romance, and skip all the boring parts where everyone is getting along. Whether you've never seen an episode or you're a Bravo scholar, we're here to break it down for you.
These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo Breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo Breakdown.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about something. Well, I messaged you. I have to say that because I do message you, like we do DM each other and we do text each other and yes. We voice memo each other. So I never
We've got a lot of mediums.
Yeah, I never know which one I've actually done. But I think
I'm checking everything right now.
I think I texted you, J-Lo and Ben.
I mean, I hate to say it, Michelle, but
no,
you know,
don't say
it. It was only a matter of time.
He looked so happy.
I mean, he's never happy though. Famously,
he looked so happy. I think he's happy when he's drinking. He's not even happy when he's drinking Dunkin'. I don't know.
You know when he's happy? He's happy smoking a cigarette.
Staring into the abyss.
Taking that big inhale, you know, taking his inhale through a mask during pandemic. Like that's when Ben shines. He's like a Kristen Doty in that way.
Yes.
He's happiest with the cigarette between the
lips. And then also when Matt Damon is like, fine, I'll do this project with you.
Yeah. They're each other's true soulmates. And J-Lo can try, but ultimately, you know, she is just a little too type A for him, I think.
Did you watch the documentary on Amazon that she released?
Oh, God, no. I do watch a lot of clips
Lord,
of it and people.
You have to.
Not her
like visual album thing. Don't watch that. I won't watch that. No, she made a documentary about Hollywood saying no to her visual album.
Yeah, like Jane Fonda being like, I think this is a bad idea.
Yeah, no, there's literally a scene. I can't believe she allowed it to stay in the documentary where her agent's telling her every famous person that was like, that passed on the project. It was like,
oh my God.
Justin Bieber, no. Justin Timberlake, no. Like Jennifer Aniston, no. I mean, I'm making up names. But I'm talking about like these were above the line people. But Jane Fonda eventually did say yes, post Malone. Like it's crazy. I have not seen the visual album. I will not be attending her tour, which she has cut down the dates.
Yeah.
Extensively.
Humiliatingly.
And then
she was booking like arenas. She was I'll sell out this arena with my first tour in 15 years to tour. Like, no one even knows you have a new album out, girl.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't heard about anything since On the Six.
We haven't heard about anything musically from her, but boy, oh boy, she is blowing up on TikTok, though. She's everywhere.
Yes.
I watched a lot of that. being mean to people at the Met Gala. But her documentary is very much worth a view because it's fascinating. Because Ben Affleck talks in it and he was like, I told her I didn't want like social media and all this stuff when we got back together. And I realized I wasn't going to win with that. And just he compares her obsession with like PR and social media to like his addiction to alcohol. So
wow, dark stuff.
Yes.
So it is kind of reminding me of like in comedy, you know, because we used to be members
famous.
Of the very elite Dallas comedy community, and sometimes you see like this guy who's like, you know, a very respected, you know, little comedian guy, you know, and then his wife doesn't really do comedy. And then like she is like, after like, you know, seeing him do that for 5 years and how much fun he's having, and he's like this respected little comedian in Dallas of all places, the Hollywood of Texas, then she is like, actually now I'm gonna be an artist. And she goes like, you know, all out, like, you know, trying to find her thing, you know,
it's
like
still so I mean, look, if Ben and J-Lo can't make it after trying for 20 years,
what a year. They didn't try for 20 years.
Okay, but she just did an interview where she was like, I've only ever loved one person and now I'm married to him.
I don't know. She says that about all her husbands. She's like Elizabeth Taylor, baby. She's still got three more in her.
I wish that she was more like Elizabeth Taylor in the sense that I want her to have a drug and alcohol problem, but no.
No, she's addicted to,
the limelight.
She's addicted to the limelight. And like P90X, I think.
And we're all addicted to it a little bit.
Not me.
No judgment, J-Lo. It's okay.
Not me.
Yes. So we are redoing an episode we did together and we could not release it.
Well, we did release the video on YouTube because it really needs a photo accompaniment with the fast frenzy of our unmedicated ADHD minds. Just
yes,
it needs captions, and so you can follow along, and it needs like pictures,
bullet points,
follow the bouncing ball.
But
you really should check it out. It's on our YouTube, Bravo Breakdowns, because Michelle's nipple is about to pop out the whole time. So it is a good one. Don't miss.
Which is hard for me to even accomplish something like that since my nipples face directly to the ground. They're fully facing down. So
they're like arrows.
Yeah. Arrows facing down.
So that's how much of her boob you're seeing.
Yeah.
To be honest.
It's a shock. It's a shock to the system.
And I put all the pictures. I could have put them over your boobs, but I was like, no, those are the money makers. I put all the pictures over myself.
We have 12 views. Money makers.
But no, yeah. Now I think the people will be flocking. They'll be flocking.
Yes, our listeners in Norway.
So check that out. It's our Mother's Day episode, our top 10 Bravo favorite mothering moments and our Valley recap. But if you're listening, we're doing a better Valley recap right here, right now.
Right.
While you're at our YouTube, check out our interview with Simone Williams from Australia Traders Season 2. And also that YouTube link is in our IG. Let me take it again. That YouTube link is in our Instagram bio. We are at Bravo_breakdowns on TikTok, Instagram. You gotta follow us. I said it.
And now we said it.
We
will start posting a TikToks again. We have been out of service.
But we're back. But you know what? We're back, baby.
And there's so much to talk about and do.
There's so much to talk about, specifically what's coming up. We are taking a break in our Traders coverage, obviously, because we have some new seasons of shows that we've covered that wrapped this month. This week, obviously, The Valley, a fantastic show in its first season on Peacock, a barn burner, and this finale is next week. Next Friday, we are releasing our Vanderpump Rules episode, Bad Season. We're going to tear it apart. And the week after that, we will recap the Summer House new season, which was actually fantastic.
Fantastic. And we're not even at the end yet where Lindsay gets a dumped on TV, babies.
Yeah, so many fun surprises, including a surprise guest.
Guests galore who are what I call above the line people.
Above the line. W-2ers.
Industry workers. They are
career entertainers.
They are accepted by Hollywood. And it's exciting for Lauren and I. We don't want to talk about it too much and jinx it because we are both very nervous and shitting our pants.
We feel like they'll back out if we say too much. That's why we didn't announce Simone and Paul. It's still too exciting.
It's too exciting and our bowels can't handle the excitement.
Famously, we are IBD girlies.
IBD. But
IBD
sometimes,
famous, of course. Sometimes C.
Sometimes IBC seeing. But sometimes I be ding.
I think we're both types.
Yeah. Why not
That's
both?
Constipation and diarrhea for those not in the medical community.
Not keeping score of our ailments.
So then after we'll close out after Summer House, we will close out our Traders coverage with UK seasons 1 and 2 coverage. So you still have time to watch those seasons and listen along.
Listen and like it.
The time has come.
I'm so excited.
Guys, we are batshit crazy about the Valley. This is the freshman season of this VPR, Vanderpump Rules, for those who don't know the Hollywood abbreves. This VPR spinoff, it's just such a brilliant move for Bravo. Because, like, Vanderpump Rules, what they really capitalized on is, like, you know, it was like the
mental illness.
Yes, but well, that's all Bravo shows. But it's like, you know, it's like your shitty dead end jobs with your like low life friends, and you're all fucking each other in your 20s,
and you're standing by a dumpster,
and you feel so much better about yourself because you're like, okay, well, mine's not that bad, you know, like I made better choices than that. And then now the audience, you know, it's been like, you know, 15 years since it premiered, and like the audience, we're all, you know, in our 30s and 40s, and you know, have kids or partners or a house or three dogs, like Kristen Doherty.
We're renting an apartment in the Valley.
Yeah, and it really applies to those people. And so, yeah, it's just like, it's very relatable, and also makes you feel so much better about your marriage or your parenting,
your mental well-being,
your friendships, everything. Also, another great thing working for this show, I really feel like all shows should have this. When they're greenlit, it's a big cast of real friends, which is so important. Mm-hmm. Like, these people actually hung out all the time. And then another compelling thing it has going for it is that it's a combination of oldies, old vets, old hands, people who cannot do anything other than be on reality TV. They are not fit to work. And then some newbies, some new fresh faces ready to have their lives ruined in their J-Lo-ian pursuit of the limelight.
And documented for our enjoyment.
Yes. So let's start off with our couples. Coming
back. Old guard.
We've got the old guard, Jackson Brittany. Jax, of course, is a day oneer from Vanderpump Rules. And he met Brittany basically, like, I think it's a PR thing. Like, his publicist was like, you have to, like, date someone normal and likable. Like, I think that they also, like, well, now he's fucking his publicist.
Well, so. A quick sidebar about Lorne is that she thinks every relationship on Bravo, every cheating scandal, every marriage, everything is PR.
Okay. I think that since Scandoval, all of the cheating scandals, my first assumption is PR, because it's like everybody's trying to make a scandal.
That's public relations, right?
Yeah, sorry, we're doing too many abbreviations.
Too many Hollywood. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's definitely public relations.
Okay.
Not just the other thing.
For our, you know, for our below the line story. People. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, so she, you know, she was like, oh, I'm from Kentucky. I never seen the show. But really, she was a super fan of the show. And she put up with all of his, like, abuse and cheating on camera and making her get giant tits on camera,
being charged with felonies.
Because she wanted to be on TV too. All of us on camera,
you know. What and I would do the same if I was Brittany. I would put up with all of those things just for 15 minutes in the sun.
And I do feel like, I mean, you
that
know,
is not true.
Yeah, and it's like we do forget on this show, like, she sucks too, because you feel so bad for her being married to Jax.
Yeah,
but let's just not forget, you know, she sucks too. So Jax got fired for, you know,
sucking.
Yeah. And then Brittany left in a show of solidarity for Vanderpump Rules. And then Jax
She's
has
like,
been.
Bye, y'all.
Jax has been barking at Bravo's door like an old hound, trying to get back on the air.
I want to come back home. Let me in.
And Scandoval happened. And so, you know, people were like, all right, I guess, you know, this is kind of relevant again. Let's give it a shot. Let's give it a spin.
Let's give it a spin off.
A spin off, in fact. And while we're bringing back cast members who are newly relevant again, let's bring back Kristen and Doty. Another Vanderpump VR. Another Vanderpump Day Oneer.
Yep.
I did too many abreves. my head is spinning. She's a Cluster B girly. And to be honest, kind of the show started to take a downhill slide when she left. It's good. She was fired. But then she became popular again during Scandoval because she was friends with Ariana. People kind of felt like she was redeemed a little because Tom Sandoval when he was trying to make Ariana look like a crazy bitch. He was saying the exact same things that he did about Kristen to make her look like a crazy bitch. When
he just gaslit Kristen.
Yeah. And people were like, okay, redemption for Dodie. I mean, she's still cuckoo.
Insane.
But
we mean that in a very loving term. Lauren and I are also very cuckoo.
Yes.
Diagnosed.
But our like, she's just a star. Our mental illness would not be compelling on television. It's a lot of Googling. It's a lot of Googling,
subreddits. Upsetting Instagram accounts. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But Kristen is like, you know, she will scale a wall with like, a woman she found like in Vegas who cheated with her ex-boyfriend on her back in Adidas flip-flops and confronts like her ex-boyfriend on camera. And it's not because she's making TV. It's because she really believes that that's justice.
And it also at the time was still her place of work.
Yes.
Insane.
And now she's with... in a truly Kristen, you know, flummoxing move, she's with this boring Colorado hermit guy, Luke. They met at a wedding a year ago and fucked behind a barn, and now they're trying to have a baby.
He does not reside, not only does not live with Kristen, doesn't even reside in the state of California. According to Kristen, he lives in the middle of nowhere, bumfuck Colorado, and doesn't
have electricity,
no running water. And when they cut to him at his job, which they put as entrepreneur, he's chopping wood.
Yes.
So perfect for Kristen. I can't wait for them to have children.
They have no idea where they're going to live. Luke does not want to be on the show anymore, which is a hit. It's all confounding. Classic Dodie.
Perfect for TV.
Speaking of perfect for TV, these pair of newcomers, I haven't been this excited about.
Insane. So good.
In a long time. We have Michelle and Jesse, who are married realtors.
Spoiler.
Yeah. Not married for long and not realtors for... I feel like they aren't real real. We never see them doing realty. and they hate each other. Jesse is like a classic... masshole
psychopath
and like Massachusetts dickhead guy, but also like a snob.
I love it.
Money with no taste.
Yeah. And by the way, refuses to live in the valley, says that on the show a lot.
Yes.
I'm not living in the valley. We live right behind the Chateau Marmont.
Yes. Which very
famous hotel in LA.
Famous hotel, but the strip, it's like, oh, why would you want to live on the strip? It's
this is Hollywood, baby. He's a star. He's always known it.
Yeah, but like the strip is like that, like you know, like the last time I was on the strip, I got chased
by Jesse.
Just 3 blocks by like a mentally ill person who was
Jesse.
Like
Kristen Jax.
Better hair than Jesse. But yeah, they were screaming, white genocide, but it was a white guy.
Oh, I think I dated
him. Isn't that crazy?
No.
Yeah. So I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill all the white women. I was like, you're not breast cancer.
And you're like, I got to get to this audition.
No, actually, I was getting a ticket on my car because I was about to expire the meter. So LA. Jesse knows. Jesse gets it. Jesse proudly lives on the strip.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so they have a 3-year-old daughter. So for her sake, they waited until they got on a TV show to end their marriage on camera, which great parenting. And yeah, just two stars. Michelle, we're not, most of what we're seeing from Michelle is a lot of sneering work, a lot of cringing at the touch of her husband.
And possibly Republican work.
And they, yes, divorced immediately after shooting Rent. to no surprise of anyone.
And
we got a normal.
Normals. And by normal, we still, like, they're Nina and Danny. And Danny. Naya. Damn it. That's how normal they are. I don't remember how to pronounce her name. And she is a pageant queen, a former Miss USA, and he actually works in Hollywood proper, accepted Hollywood. He's a voice actor.
Yes, and a former child star.
And normal. They're too normal for TV.
Crazy that a former child star at Nickelodeon is the most normal person on this TV show. I gotta say.
I know. He, like, really loves his wife and really loves his kids. And they have very, very young kids. This is very hard. I cannot imagine doing, like, a show like this. They have three kids under the age of two. So they just had newborn. They have newborn twins on the show. And then they have, like, I think a 19-month-old son, something like that. But
and Naya was, like, 4 weeks postpartum with twins. Yeah.
Like, there's literal scenes of, like, fighting on the show. She's not involved in any of it. And she has to go because her boobs are getting engorged. Her milk is leaking. And she has to cover up with a napkin.
She hears all these, like, you know, people, like she hears people crying, like, and just, like.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, I got it. Yeah. Her milk starts producing. She's like, I got to go home and feed my three kids under the age of two.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. A lot of people really love them.
Because
it's like
too. Someone
normal on the show. Yeah,
I just don't want anything bad to happen.
I just don't want them on the show because I like them as people.
Yeah.
And they, the opposite of how fans think now. They're like, I like them as people. I want them on the show.
Yeah. Like, I don't want their marriage to suffer. Like they seem genuinely very happy, very in love, and have a very sweet family. And I want them protected and not by Bravo.
Not by Bravo. No, Bravo. Until there's a union. Get out of there, Naya and Danny. There's no SAG, Danny, for reality TV workers. Get out.
Get out of there.
Okay, so here's another kind of crazy couple. Janet is closet crazy. Her husband, Jason, who's a lawyer, is pretty normal.
Yeah.
But Janet is like 15 months pregnant, and she's a long-time Vanderpump Rules groupie. And the unlikely villain of the show. She's kind of like the mastermind. She does a lot of behind-the-scenes work. And she kind of feels, it's like she's like the mob boss in charge of like what secrets are going on camera and what's staying off. She's really like, thinks she's a producer.
XOXO Gossip Girl. Well, this is how much of a Vanderpump fan and how deep Janet goes. You know, she conceived her child the day of the Scandoval.
Yes.
Insane. That's how good she is.
That's dark-sided.
She has a Scandoval baby.
That's witchcraft.
Yeah. She said that she was with Ariana, like, consoling her. And then, like, she got a calendar alert that she was ovulating and told Ariana, like, look, like, I know you're going through a lot, but I'm ovulating. Like, I gotta go.
A calendar alert? Was it, like, 12 o'clock at night?
You know,
I don't buy anything she says.
She says, you know, when you find out you're ovulating. Well, I did that when I was ovulating. I didn't get calendar alerts, so I just peed on a stick and it was like, you're ovulating. And so.
But you would know the day of, you wouldn't know down to the minute when you're ovulating.
I mean, sometimes. I don't know. I don't know how ovulation works. All I know is when I was ovulating, I yelled at Jason to do whatever he needed to do to get ready and meet me in the bedroom and we could have sex for 2 minutes. So.
But it's not like you were like, oh, my God, it's 7:48. The egg is dropping. You know, I've got to leave Ariana.
Well, you know, she's just, you have an ovulation like window. And so it was within that window and she had to make it.
But isn't the window like a 12-hour window?
What am I, a gynecologist, Lauren?
I don't know. Well, sorry.
If anybody could write to Lauren and I on how the female body works, that would very much be helpful for us at this point.
I'm just saying something in the ovulation stick ain't clean. Okay.
Well, maybe she just was like, Ariana, you're going through a lot and I'm going to go have sex with my husband because this gets me horny.
I think it's a good story. Yeah. I think she gets hot from.
She gets hot from scandals.
From her proximity to Vanderpumpers.
And you know what? Give this woman a season two. Yes. She's a star.
We want her to be wet with excitement to be around Jax and Kristen.
Yes, please. I mean, if this is the stuff that she could pull sober and pregnant, I mean, imagine next season.
Imagine, truly. I also love that she has like an army of evil gays.
She's very much an ear to the ground type of girl.
Yes. Speaking of token gay representation on the show, we have not enough, in my opinion.
And woman of color.
And woman
checking
of color.
All the boxes.
We have only two right now, which are Zach and Jasmine. Zach is Brittany's best friend from Kentucky, but she has like the thickest accent in the world and he doesn't have one.
Nothing at all. Just the regular old gay.
Yep.
Accent.
Not even suspect that. To me. Brittany is so suspect to me. And he's also best friends with Kristen now. And you know, he's great. His hair is okay. So there, his hair is a topic of much discussion. He has somehow proved it was real. It is like many people have said, it's like a Lego attachment. I think here's my thing. Not as weird as Jesse's hairline to me. Jesse's getting off scot-free on the hairline accusations when his hairline also starts Teresa Giudice style and goes straight back.
Yeah, he has a three head.
Yeah, I just had to get that off my chest. Yeah, like that, you know, but Jesse's hair is just as confusing as
Zach's. Well, I'm glad that you got that off of your chest. And yeah, the hairline with Zach doesn't bother me as much as it bothers some people in our subreddits. And, you know, I think that's the least interesting thing about him.
Yeah. His best feature, he's tall.
No, and his best feature, when the camera cuts to him, oh, baby, he can make face. He can make a face that you're going to make a gif out of.
It's like he is what Kyle Richards is trying to do in group scenes.
Oh, I know.
Where he's actually giving funny
reaction. He's giving funny. It's perfect. And unlike Kyle Richards, when something incredible has just happened on TV, he's not running away.
Yes.
Talking about the Amsterdam scene.
Yes. He's in fact, using his body to protect
with
the
his
women
whole
from Jesse's
body, name. Giving us face. Thank you, Zach.
And then finally, we have Jasmine, who is a reality TV veteran. She was on The Bachelor Dallas Cowboy Cheerleading Show. And now she is a lesbian and has a longtime girlfriend who will be on the cast next season.
Thank God.
I know. Okay, this is a great roster. Let's get into the season. So, first episode, we have Janet's birthday party. It's county fair themed.
Yeah, because she's from Ohio and Brittany's from Kentucky, and they love county fairs in Ohio and in Kentucky.
Famously what border, those two states have in common.
They border each other.
So we've got some Vanderpump Rules cast members doing a little crossover for backup to make sure the premiere gets poppin', but we don't even need them. Because immediately Jesse is in line for the tattoo artist, which, you know, part of every county fair.
Yeah.
An actual tattoo artist, not temporary tattoos. There's a tattoo artist in their house doing tattoos on
and
people forever.
This is a party with also lots of children running around.
Yes.
Which does make sense for a fair-themed party. An actual tattoo artist with, like, a needle and ink that is permanent in your living room. Less, you know, child-themed. But I do love that out of the gate, they're doing something wildly inappropriate for our children.
Yes.
In their home.
In their home. And I also think Kristen just brings one wherever she goes, just in case she needs her fix.
Yeah.
And that's actually how this first fight happens, is that she's like
in line.
Jesse's in line and she's like, hey, let me cut, and he's like no, and she gives him a chitty twister,
which is so funny. There's so much, like, you know, like junior high hijinks at this party. I love
an insane impulse to just give your castmate a titty twister.
Yeah, you're like 40-year-old castmate. You're both in your, I think they're both in their 40s at this point.
Yes.
And she's like, titty twister. And so then Jesse, this is why Jesse is so wonderful, but not towards women, is like, okay, I'll do it back to you. Let me see those titties.
She's like, what? How could you do that to a woman?
I'm practically engaged. We're making her sound like the Countess Luann, who we see tomorrow night. But she does not sound like that. But Lauren
she
and
has
I...
a little, she has a little bit of, like, this type of voice. She has, like, a intensity.
I will say I haven't worked with a voice coach in a while, so we're doing our best here, guys.
I have a.
You probably have
tonight,
one.
Actually.
I know.
We'll work on our duty. So then, Brock, Sheena's husband, who if he earns his paycheck and dares Jax to pants Danny, the normal dad, which Jax does, and this is a party that also people are swimming at. So Danny is wearing swim trunks and no underwear, and so
you don't when you're, you know, an adult and you're swimming, you just wear your swimsuit.
And so he pulls out his pants, and Danny luckily like, immediately.
I will pants him right now while he's getting his picture taken
on camera.
And
so luckily he immediately like cups his family jewels.
He's not going to be on any lists for exposing himself in front of children.
His wife immediately bursts into tears. This is like the first day of shooting, and like her son almost saw his father's
ding-a-ling. My ding-a-ling. My ding-a-ling.
And it's just it's a great up, great up.
I did feel for Naya in that moment. She was like what, like 4 weeks postpartum or something. I mean, like everything is setting you up. She probably hasn't slept. She hasn't slept at this point in 2 years because she still has like her other son who's under the age of two. She has not slept in so long.
Oh yeah, and it's like she, you know, we later learn she's struggling with postpartum depression, but also like I think it's also just like situational depression. I would be like, oh my god, I have 3 kids under two. I've made a huge mistake.
I live in a condo. During that scene though, Sheena is like just watching her and trying not to laugh, and I was like, you know what, Sheena, you've already earned your spot on this season two. So just relax, babe. You've already done plenty.
We'll see. We'll see. I think she's going to be. Well, we'll talk about speculations later. We'll pick up the pace, though.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. So the drama really kicks up at a girls' night at Jesse and Michelle's house. So Kristen's pissed that Jax hates Luke, hates her new boyfriend. And he also is like trying to get her ex-boyfriend to shoot with them on camera.
So Jax has a guy's night and like Michelle has like a girl's night over at her house. So it's like the girls and the guys are split up except Zach is like hanging out with the girls.
Right. And so Kristen is like talking about how pissed she is at Jax. And then for some reason, her way of like getting back at Jax, her logic, I don't understand, but I love it. She's like, well, you know what, Michelle, everyone on the cast thinks you're a racist Republican.
Yeah. And then
hard cut, end of episode.
Yeah. So her thing is, I heard that maybe you're a Republican, which means that you're a racist because Republicans are racist. And Zach's having a meltdown in the kitchen. It's all going down. This is one of the all-time great episodes of reality TV to me.
Well, it's so bizarre because it's like nothing has happened this episode. Suddenly we get this out of nowhere. Hard cut, end of episode. The next episode is just the fallout. And we're kind of discussing
a Republican.
Everything that led up to it. I mean, the way the show is edited and produced, it's perfect. And they're not, it's chaos. Like, but also it's like, do you think that adds to the charm, the way that you cannot follow a storyline at all?
Yeah. It's basically so chaotic. Like our podcast. Maybe that's why we have such an affinity for it. It's just pure chaos.
It's like really you cannot follow a thread, a storyline, anything. It's just like shit is happening constantly.
Yeah.
You're like, why did nothing ever happen with this? Like, why do we never see the end of this fight? Like, but it's just, you know, you don't have time to think about it because more shit is happening.
So we find out in the next episode after there's just like the abrupt cut that Kristen, you know, confronts Michelle about possibly being a Republican. And it all started with Janet. This is why she's an amazing mastermind. With Janet revealing the Don't Say Gay bill, which Michelle, I guess, said, what did she say about it? Oh, that she didn't see how it would be helpful to gay children or helpful
no,
for
she
children.
She said, Don't Say Gay bills protect kids.
They don't. And she said that it wouldn't.
And Janet was like, oh, you might need to like look more into that. And she was like, I didn't think she was Republican. I thought maybe she got swept up into an algorithm or something.
Oh, Janet knew what she was doing.
Oh, I know. And then Zach is a little more honest about it and is like, she was like, you know, giving me and Jasmine a heads up about that off camera, that like, hey, Michelle might be a homophobe, but just like keep an eye out for it. I just don't want you to be ambushed on camera with like homophobia, but like, you know, give her the chance not to be.
But the
Doty,
way it replayed on
does
camera
not understand nuance, doesn't understand any
but
of that.
She understands the assignment that is reality TV, and so she's like, I'm not going to get any of my facts straight, but I am going to bring up what I have interpreted on camera in your home and offend you. And then while doing that, offend every other person who is at the party. And yes. She did it in one swoop. It's perfect.
So then she's public enemy number one with Jesse and Michelle. Like they are, you know, yep. are like, talk to Janet and
we're
Zach.
Episode
and they're like,
two, guys.
I think this is three.
Now we're in three.
So they, Jesse and Michelle have a Capri party. Jesse pronounces it Capri, because he's
not Capri.
Asshat. Asshat.
Capri is a place in Italy for all of our girlies who are not well traveled. Capri is also a room at a Buca di Beppo in Beverly Hills that Dorit from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills designed. And I kind of wish the party had been there. But instead, the party is at a house that Jesse and Michelle are trying to sell, which is very funny.
Yes. And so they all meet there. Kristen comes, but she's expected to apologize. And so she does. She's like, okay, I apologize for reporting what I heard.
Yes.
And they're like, I think we were very clear. We want you to say you made it all up and you're lying. And right. she's like, I can't do that.
I have to tell the truth. And this is my favorite. This might be my favorite episode of the season.
It's really good.
This scene, the dinner scenes that Jesse and Kristen give us together, it's heaven sent, Lauren. So So I was shaking from excitement when I watched this play out. So everyone's wanting Kristen to apologize to Michelle. Kristen can't do it fully. She's like, I apologize for not, you know, essentially getting my facts straight. You know, you're not a racist, Michelle, blah, blah, blah. And then everyone starts talking. And then Jesse pounds his fist on the table. And by the way, this is a motif because this is something that Jesse will do multiple times throughout this season is pound his fist on the table like a gorilla or something. And he's like, shut up. Everybody let Michelle speak because she wants to say her piece. And then as soon as Michelle starts talking, he shushes her and he puts his hand in. It's kind of scary, but he puts his hand in her face and then it cuts to Zach with his one of his classic cut to Zach's crazy, like, oh, my God, reactions. And then he cuts his wife off, tells her to shut the fuck up, even though he told her it was her turn to speak, and then tells Kristen, which is very funny and true. The only person who's been fired for being a racist is you. And then it cuts to the most incredible confessional I've ever seen on Bravo, to be honest.
Yeah. So there was a lot of talk before the season of like, did Kristen learn from being fired for racism?
Being a racist?
Like, I think she really grew up. And this talking head proves she did not.
No.
Between cuts to the dinner scene of Jesse being like, is it or is it not true? Like a prosecutor.
Yes.
That you were fired for racism.
And the two. Yeah. And it's funny because there's actually two attorneys that could be cross-examining Kristen, Janet, and her husband, Jason, and they're just like,
Janet isn't a lawyer. She was a personal assistant to Cameron Diaz.
Okay, to me that is an attorney. Like
that pretty much is like a law degree.
It's basic. It's got to be all those, like, you know, supplements she must be taking. It's a lot to remember, like a lawyer.
Oh yeah, her skincare line. Yeah. So between cuts to Kristen saying yes. Yes, prosecutor, yes. It is true.
Yes,
it's true. Talking. It's her in a confessional being like, I would never label anyone a racist because I know how harmful and painful it is to be labeled that. It's like, no, bitch, you weren't labeled that. You
actually
did
really heinous acts that we have discussed before on the podcast. So we don't need to get into it, but just Google.
Neither does the show.
Kristen Doty. And you'll see. But the
show just shows headlines that says Kristen Doty fired for racism, 2020. Kristen Doty apologizes for racism, 2020.
And it's just playing this, like, really sad, like, Sarah McLachlan, like, type, like, you know, your pets, like, sad music. And she's just sitting on the couch, not saying anything, staring at the ground. It's
in
so
the arms of racism.
No Republicans in L.A. Which we also find out from Zach's confessional, so many great confessionals in this episode, that being a Republican is social suicide, and you cannot admit to being a Republican, L.A. I love L.A.
You know what broke recently? Somebody looked up Janet's voting records in Ohio, and she was
I saw that. You know, but Ohio, a very
swing state,
one of those swing states.
A swing state. She could still be a voter there.
Yeah. Scary.
Guys, I'm so worried about the election year.
I'm not even. Okay. You know what? I don't even want to
talk about it. We can't talk about it.
Here's all I'm going to say about it. How did we end up with just these two guys? Like, can we please have somebody running who was not alive during World War One? And now we said it.
Okay, wait, Michelle, I have one thing to sing about it. How the hell did we end up like this? Should have moved right on. I think that's stained. That's just what you
I thought you were
that's
doing.
What you said reminded me.
I thought you were doing Kelly Clarkson's, like, a moment like this.
Okay, so then next we have the silent auction. So then Kristen does a more, like, eating shit apology because Michelle and
so many
Jessie
apologies that she has to do. It's like
she really is taking the she really is pissed off that she's having to eat shit for everyone. She's like, oh my god, I was the scapegoat in the Vanderpump Rules cast. Like, everybody treated her like a crazy asshole, and it seems like they're doing it on this cast too.
Yeah,
she's an amateur.
Yeah.
She's pissed off.
Yeah,
but she, you know, she'll
get hers.
Used to being the whipping boy, mm-hmm. So she's like, yeah, sorry, I was wrong. I misinterpreted it. And Michelle goes, you need help. and Jessie's eyes and pupils are red with rage and roid use. And she's like, yeah, it's fine.
Because here's the thing. Kristen and her boyfriend, Luke, are keeping a secret from Michelle. And they tell everybody that they are keeping a secret from Michelle.
Yes. They're like, we know. So Kristen texts her after the apology and says, by the way, your secret's safe with me. I'll never tell anyone. And Michelle is like, this doesn't seem like my secret. I have a secret that's safe with her. This seems like a threat. Like,
yes. And
she's not saying what it is. Like, what the
yes, fuck? But she's telling Jax and talking about it in her confessionals. And Luke, who doesn't even want to be doing confessionals, Kristen's boyfriend, is saying, like, everybody better be really careful because Kristen has a secret about Michelle.
So the next day, we have another girls' day / boys' day. The girls go to Malibu. When Brittany leaves, Jax is being really mean to her. Their marriage is not in a good place. He hates that she drinks, even though she has horrible stomach issues.
Yeah.
And she's sick all the time.
Yeah.
And calls her a bad mom. A lot. And it's a bummer to watch.
Yeah. I mean, you do see a clip of it where he's yelling at, she's, you know, not feeling well and she's drinking water and Jax is holding their son and he's yelling at her like, you want to have a second kid and look at you. You can't even stay sober. You can't stop drinking. Like, this is like a theme that happens throughout the season is Jax berating Brittany and talking openly with everybody else about her drinking. So, Lauren, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think that Jax is a piece of shit? No. Do you think that Jax is going about her drinking? I'm going to say this, and I might get in trouble. I do think that Brittany is drinking too much. As the why I think she's drinking too much, I think it could be a lot of things. The number one thing is that she's married to Jax. But do you think the way that he's bringing it up is, like, pretty shitty? Or do you think he's sort of justified in it?
I know some people are like, oh, I kind of get it. But I feel like we'll get to it. But honestly, I've got a theory about her stomach issues. Oh, okay. As a stomach issue girly myself. I feel like it was revealed on the most recent episode. More about the girls' night Malibu trip when we come back.
These girls are having a break.
And we're back.
Yeah, so Jax and Brittany. Jax is always on Brittany for drinking too much. And yeah, I mean, the way that he goes about it is shitty, but I don't think he's wrong that she does drink too much. Because, like, you see it at the Malibu girls' night where she's, I think she's the only one doing shots. Like, all the girls are drinking, but I think Brittany might be taking shots by herself. Do you remember that? Like,
She was the only one doing, I think, like, slugging straight tequila, and Dodie right. was there. So that's like, yeah. you know, when you're drinking Dodie like, under a table whose blood is like tequila and Diet Coke, like, that's, you know, not a great sign.
I mean, it could have just been editing, but, you know.
Yeah. I mean, Brittany has drank through the pain a lot, through her years on TV.
Yes.
But I do have, a theory, but we'll get to it when it happens on screen.
But yes, she does drink through the pain of, I think, emotional and physical pain, because she does have a lot of physical pain.
Both.
I mean, even mm-hmm. going back to VPR, she has an ulcer and the doctor's like, you should not be drinking. And then she goes to a Mexico trip and she's like drinking. So her yeah. idea of if you drink it straight, if you drink like straight tequila instead of having it in like a margarita like mixed, then it's better. But I disagree with that statement. But more happens in Malibu outside of Brittany drinking tequila. But that is the most memorable part for me.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the guys are having their guys' pool day and barbecue. And everybody brings over their kids. As usual, all the men are just talking about their wife's pussies and how often they fuck them in front of their talking 3-year-old children. Jesse comes over and he's talking about how he and Michelle, you know, don't fuck and he needs to get in better shape. And then an interesting development, mm-hmm. all of the guys say, well, that's because she's hanging out with Bleep. And she's yeah. hanging out with Bleep a lot. We go to Jax's talking head and he's like, so Michelle pretends she doesn't care about celebrities, but she's always hanging out at the Chateau Marmont and she met this famous director, Bleep. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, which like is a small pool of directors if Jax knows
the director. Yes. Yeah.
So we think like Michael Bay or Tarantino, because those are the only ones with short names that
Jax would know.
Maybe Scorsese, but he's kind of old.
Maybe Spielberg, but I don't think it's Spielberg.
No, he's tired. Yeah, I don't think great films.
I don't think Michelle's at the Chateau Marmont talking to him about the Fablemans.
Yes.
But I would love to see it.
No, that would be good TV. There's speculation. Like, they're all teasing Jesse about it. And he's like, hey, it's like she's just texting him because he's looking to, you know, he lives in Malibu. He's looking for another house. We're trying to sell a house. So, yeah, she can hang out with him for 72 hours straight and not come home. Like,
By the way,
we're something sexy.
There are, again, at Jax's house, there are children present.
Everywhere. Speaking children.
Jesse's kid is there. Cruz is there. Obviously, it's his house.
In their little waterproof child-size mics.
They're about to do confessionals, these three-year-olds.
And Luke the whole time is like has like a really shit-eating grin. And this was the first episode. It was like, okay, maybe he is right for Kristen. Because he's like just like watching Jesse and being like, so you're okay with that she's hanging out with this director, and then he's just like smiling so smugly, and they go to his confessional.
He's,
like, he reminds everyone like, I've got a secret that will rock his marriage and rock his life.
And it's not that Jesse has electricity, but it is really funny because like I said, like the kids are there, and Jesse's daughter. After all of this is happening and they're talking openly about like their sex lives, Jesse's daughter's like, when we had daddy daughter day, we had margaritas. And then Jesse like picks up his daughter and is like, all right, it's time for nap time.
And right before that, he'd also said, oh, if Michelle ever cheats on me, then that is game over. And I'll tell my daughter for the rest of her life that it was mommy's fault that she fucked it all up. Which, yeah. You know, I guess if it seems like spoiler alert, that is what is happening.
Right.
So I fear for this drunken tequila child. I fear
for this. This is all why it's so infuriating that there is not a reunion. Like, I just want to watch Jesse's face watching himself back saying these awful things that I'm so glad he said because it is wildly entertaining. Sorry to Michelle and his kid, though, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, but here's the thing. It's like he does seem like kind of proud of it. Like,
he is.
Yes, he's a proud boy indeed. He decides he's going on an ayahuasca trip to save his marriage.
Insane.
He's saying the reason is because he knows he can be the loudest person in the room and get all the attention, and that's how he commands power. But he's going to go on a drug trip to maybe change that. But it's like he doesn't really – he likes that about himself. That he wouldn't be like that on camera if not. Like, that's what makes him – honestly, I really think that's what makes a great reality TV star. It's like they're not even doing this for TV. They really think that what they're doing is cool and normal.
Yeah, cool, normal, and will solve all of their marital problems. Like,
it's
wild, dude. Let me go do ayahuasca for 24 hours or shrooms or whatever and all that jazz. And then I'll come back and save our marriage.
And I'll start the car. I know a whoopee spot.
Where Tarantino goes, or maybe Bay.
Anyway, so then it's Jax has a hair loss party.
I feel like the motif for this show is not going to be Jax getting a new nose. It's going to be like Jax getting more hair or talking more about his hair loss,
which is like you know, crazy. Like he you know, but see, the thing is, the law is in California, you can only shill for a product if you have the condition, the medical condition that it's used for. So Jax is like, well, I got a bald spot. I got a bald spot in the back of my head. And I spray paint it, which he doesn't have. He has a part. Like, he's not going bald at all, but it's the only way he can make this like $100,000 by like saying this product name he can't pronounce on TV for.
And that I don't remember. Yeah. But
yeah,
he did
like Xylax.
Yeah, like xylophone. I don't know. But he did allegedly like spray paint his head. So,
which is what drag queens do, by the way. That's how they cover their hairlines.
And we're not saying, not that, you know, we're not saying Jax is a drag queen, but.
No, but Jason Couchy
might be.
His former self, his Miami self, modeling days.
But back to Jax not having hair and throwing a party for that.
So this was at the Mondrian, and also meanwhile at the Mondrian, this show is like so fucking chaotic.
It's so like it's like a tennis match. Like we're going from here to there to there to it's wild.
Yeah, so they haven't like secured like the whole building for the Mondrian.
Yeah.
So there's also like a Burning Man pop up happening.
Yeah,
where like the lady is
like,
just
selling
clothes outdoors, and like there's just a bunch of prop fringe like Orville Peck hats that everyone's wearing in the lobby that are being given up for free.
Like, she's wearing like a sequined bikini and the guys are talking to her. While
Jesse's really talking to her. Again, this is why this guy is so great on camera. It's like anyone else, even Jax, I would be like, you know, Jax, when he's interviewing girls to work at this bar, and that's another one of his deals in quotations, where it's like it's actually, you know, he's like, I'm opening a bar, but it's really like an existing bar where they're doing a pop-up where they just show like the Valley Nights, and Jax comes, and it's called Jax's,
and
it's
he has not invested any money into that, which okay, like quick sidebar, just the difference between like okay, Jax's bar is in the Valley, and then they're at the Mondrian, which is like LA, like Hollywood, like I don't want to like say
the
anything,
vibes, dude.
The vibes, but also just like the type of women that you know were in the Valley versus like the ones still in Hollywood, a little different.
And Jax, when Jax is interviewing him, he's clearly like giving TV. Well, he's also like so immature, but he's playing it up where he's like every you know like bartender you know he interviews. He's like, look at her boobs. She's not wearing a bra.
Oh,
like him playing like you know he's trying to be married with children. yeah. like he's trying to be Ed O'Neill. Yeah. Like, but then Jesse is talking
because
to this.
Like Married with Children, he's also not wanting to have sex with his wife.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. She's so Peg Bundy coded.
I know. She just wants to have a nooner. And he's like, oh, Peg, I just want to sit on my couch and watch TV. Why you got to bother me with sex?
Yes, Jax is very leaning into the, like, you know, TV husband tropes. But Jesse is just genuinely, that's why, like, he lives just, and breathes bad husbands.
Yeah, like, he's just literally chatting up this girl like he does not have a camera on him and that his wife is not, like, in the same vicinity. He's, like, literally just hitting on her blatantly. And it's fabulous.
It's great. And Michelle finally comes down and is like, honey, what the fuck? And he's like, he's not even worried. He's like, oh, yeah, I was just seeing if I wanted like a fringe skirt or something.
Yeah, he's like, well, she's selling merchandise for Burning Man. And Michelle's like, are you going to Burning Man? He's like, no. Also, this is how crazy this episode is. This same episode, Jesse and Jax, like, are wearing stuff from this girl who's selling the Burning Man stuff, and Jesse and Jax are like dancing with Britney's mamaw. Like, it's crazy.
It's crazy, and they don't even try to parse it. No. Like, the show really, the first time I watched the first episode, I had to watch it four times because the way things unfold, it's just a wild montage.
Yeah, I too felt like watching this, like I was at Burning Man and I was taking ayahuasca. I was just like, huh, wait, what? Burning Man? Mamaw's in this same episode where Jax is spray painting his head and they're at the Mondrian and Kristen is having to apologize and everyone's talking about Jax isn't really bald in front of the investors who have invested in Jax for being bald. We haven't even gotten to the meat of the episode.
Yeah, which is the most trash reality.
Yeah.
Like ever on a Vanderpump Rules type show. Yeah. It goes there more than Summer House ever has, more than Vanderpump Rules ever has. It is a Bad Girls Club level.
These people will put their entire asses out.
Yes.
And it's amazing that so many of them have never been on TV before because they are pros at putting their ass out there. Yes. Give us
so
whole
they set
ass.
Down. They give us whole ass hole. They show hole on man. So they sit down for Jax's like male pattern baldness
celebratory. His celebratory male pattern baldness dinner, a private room at the Mondrian.
And he like tries to. They're like, make a toast, and he's like, can't even remember the product name. He's like, I don't know, whatever.
He's like, let's just drink, you know, and let's just drink and eat. Like, he's so tired at this point because he is 40, and it is an exhausting day he's had at the Mondrian already. He's hit on a girl, tried to bite it. He's tried chilling a product and dance with Mamaw.
Also, I think that, like, the reason Jax is their marriage is so bad is because he actually is really busy right now. It's like, you know, reality stars, it's like the gig economy. It's like when things are good, he probably is actually working like 55-hour weeks right now. And he hasn't worked more than five hours a week in like 4 years.
Jax
and now he can't
having,
fuck other women.
Yeah, he is having to make decisions for the first time in a long time. Long time, he's like having to be like, I don't know, wallpaper for this place that I'm actually not invested in. I don't fucking know. And Brittany's supposed to be helping with that. And that's also part of the issue is she's not being allowed to be involved in any of the decisions for their sports bar where they sell beer cheese. Back to the episode, though.
Very episode, yeah. Again, so this is really like it's you know we are doing a good job recapping it.
We are actually doing this wild. Yes, like, yes, and like also during this this dinner is when Nia's boobs start to leak because of like all the screaming and fighting. Like we said earlier, it reminds her that like her body's like, oh, screaming, crying, children. I must engorge your breasts and produce milk, and she has to like shield her boobs from the camera. Like she's not, you know, showing her boobs, but like she's holding up a napkin and she's like, I gotta feed my kids, you know, and there's like a huge massive fight in the hallway and she's like, I gotta go.
So the way the fight escalates, first of all, really quickly,
very quickly,
like suddenly
Kristen
you know
knows what to do.
Yeah, Michelle and Jesse are like still pissed at Kristen. They say something passive aggressive. And Kristen is like, well, Jesse's like abusive. And then everyone's like, oh my God, Kristen, yeah, and then, you always take it too far.
And then again,
and then he gets extremely abusive.
Yeah, he starts slamming his fists on the table again, like he did at his own party that he hosted. Now he's doing it at Jax's party. And Jax is so tired. He's not even really getting involved. He's like, oh, whatever.
Usually I like drama. Like, I like people mixing it up and getting into it. But
he seemed like he just really wanted to eat dinner at this point.
Yes, he'd had a long day.
Yeah,
of pretending to be bald and stirring the pot.
Yeah. Jesse slamming his fist. Kristen's getting upset. Proceeds to Michelle, Jesse, Kristen, Luke, all in the hallway screaming at each other. And then, you know, Kristen, again, trying to deliver a message of something she heard and delivering it completely wrong. This time it was like, yeah, well, at least I didn't go on TV with my husband saying that he's going to divorce me in 2 months, which he did not say. It was actually Michelle telling Kristen that she was probably going to be divorcing Jesse
in 2 months. Yeah. And yeah. It's those kinds of miscommunications where it's like, they call her a liar, but like, honestly, and she's like, and it's like, she's not a liar. She really believes everything she says.
Yeah.
She just, her brain does not take in information the way
her brain
does
not compute. You know, it takes in information, but her mouth doesn't know how to like tell the truth.
Yes, like, yes. True. But she believes it's true. Yeah. Like, she believes that to the bottom of her heart. But really, like, okay, so this is, like, such a missed moment, I feel like. So when she says that, when you see Jesse's face, when she's like, well, you're going to leave her in 2 months anyway, you can see the flicker in his eyes where he's like,
whoa.
She said that about me.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, my
but
God.
But he's like, but he's still leaving. Like, by the way, listeners, at this point, we have left the room where everyone's eating dinner and we're all in everyone's in the hallways, like yelling. At some point, then Brittany and Zach get up because Jesse's seeing red and he wants to like punch the shit out of Kristen. Zach gets pushed. Brittany gets pushed. Kristen gets pushed. A table gets hit. Michelle gets pushed out of the way. Jesse has now become the Hulk in this episode where he's like, Jesse smash, and he's just like, I gotta like, he's all like trying to get to Kristen, and she leaves and breaks the fourth wall. She's like, if I wanted this, I could have just stayed on Vanderpump Rules. And now we're in the lobby listening to Kristen being like, I could have just stayed on Vanderpump Rules, she says to camera, which again, another not truth. She couldn't have because she was fired for racism.
I do get what she's saying is like, okay, so you guys, she sees that like, oh, everyone's making me the scapegoat of this season.
Right.
But the audience is like, well, we're not going to be mad at the girl who's like telling us all the tea that you guys just talked and said we were going to keep off camera. Like, and so like they're basically, and also they're forcing her to say it. Like Jesse and Michelle are screaming, what are our secrets? What are our secrets?
Yeah,
you're
name
threatening us. What are our secrets?
Yeah, it's very much giving us that name them, which by the way, also in this scene, it's so crazy, all the nipple talk, but Michelle's nipple has busted out of her dress. And
it is never adjusted. The producer, nobody tells her, hey, you know.
Yeah, can someone
get busy, trying to, like, you know, restrain Jesse.
Yeah. And it's like, can someone please give Michelle Nia's napkin that covered her nipples and now give this to Michelle to cover her own nipples? Like, it's, the nip slip. And then, because I think we almost saw, like, the nipples from the Burning Man woman this same episode. I mean, it was just, what a ride.
It's peak TV. The season peaks here, I gotta say.
It does.
I'm hoping for an explosive finale, but this is like beyond this. I think like it is, it doesn't give me the same level of dopamine as Sheena's engagement party where Jax gets punched by Sandoval, but I will say it's more chaotic.
Yes.
And it escalates faster.
So much happens.
It's trashier.
Yeah. So much happens this episode and you're just like, that was like 40 minutes. Like, what just happened? You don't even know what's going on. It's so chaotic. It's perfect, though.
So the next few episodes are kind of winding down. At the end of the episode, Janet says, I'm very pregnant, and Kristen just brings all the drama. It's like, I'm pretty sure like Jesse was the one who was, you know, punching everybody.
Actually, it's you, Janet. You're actually kind of the seed of a lot of it.
Yes. And so she's like, I'm not inviting her to anything. And Michelle is, and Jesse are like, well, obviously we're not going to film with her, you know, anymore.
This is a big mistake. You can't.
So they try to banish her from the show. But little did they know that Kristen's been, they've attempted to ban Kristen from a lot of places. Vanderpump Rules, Sir Lisa Vanderpump's house. Mm-hmm. And yet still she manages to show up. So
she finds her way. Yeah, she finds her way.
But I do kind of like to compare this to a less successful season, Vanderpump Rules, new season, which we're covering in a couple of weeks. I like that the producers, they're like, you know what? I trust them. Ban her, you know, like force them to shoot together. They got it. You know, there's enough going on. Well, we can have a couple boring episodes.
They can. And I think they also know, like, Kristen always will find a way. Kristen finds a way. Yeah.
Yeah. They trust in their talent. And I just like, if the two options are like production not doing anything and just like letting the feathers fly and letting the viewers be confused and like drama and madness, I would rather have that than like production trying to tightly control.
Right. And it's so overly produced and you have to be here. Yeah. You could tell that they weren't even, I don't even know if there were call times on this show because it's like, you know, you can tell like on VPR the last few seasons, it's like, show up here and talk about this. It's like, I don't think anything, it doesn't seem like any of that is happening here. I don't think anybody's on this call sheet. Like, there's nothing. It's just chaos all the time.
Especially because Janet pretty much takes control of the call sheets, and she's like, okay, the hibachi dinner that's shooting at my place tomorrow, Kristen and Luke are not invited.
They're not invited.
And so,
yeah.
You know, it's a boring ass dinner other than like Brittany getting yelled at instantly in her face. Like, they do a slow mo of her face going, oh no.
Yeah. And then I don't even know where they are, a guest house or something. Like, from the outside, I don't know, Jax just comes in this room and starts yelling at Brittany that she drinks too much. She's just like, my stomach hurts, Jax, and you need to be supporting me, and I need to go home. And he's like, you drink too much, you know, you just drink too much, which, again, she does.
Well, here, we'll get to it, but I do have a theory. We'll get to it in a minute.
I'm ready for your theory.
I know. So then Kristen, she was inspired, I think, by the Burning Man market, so she decides to do an outdoor James market May. Rebranding for
yeah,
her
reboot.
Brand,
yeah.
James
yeah.
May, which also this was their third rebranding.
Yeah.
Like, what is a rebrand? Like, she's not selling any shirts.
Yeah, this rebranding was like this time with no racism.
Yeah, it's like it's more of a rebrand for Kristen, but it's kind of the same old Kristen because she's laying on the ground and not making any money from it while Zach, like, you know, organizes all the shirts.
Yeah,
and, like,
I was like,
sends invitations.
Yeah, I didn't even know where they were. I was like, are they just on a random person's sidewalk right now?
It's like an empty lot.
Yeah,
like,
not getting invited to things.
Well, Kristen strikes back and she doesn't invite Janet and Jason, and obviously not Michelle and Jesse. They wouldn't come anyway.
They wouldn't come anyway. But.
And Brittany and Jax decide that they are the messengers. And
Jax is like,
but no, first Brittany. Brittany does it first. Brittany says to Zach, so by the way, Janet's having a baby moon in Big Bear, and I think it's couples only, and you're not invited. Sorry. In like the most tactless way.
So
and
shitty.
And then Jax doubles down and is like, so let's just get the elephant out of the room. You guys aren't invited to the trip. I was invited. I was the only one advocating for you, but you're not invited, and that's it. It's like, why are you like calling someone to tell them they're not invited?
They're like not even being able to like have their like products like in a store or like any kind of place. Like, there's no shelter. Like, they're just out on the street basically yelling at homeless people like, you're not invited to something.
Yes. And Danny and Naya have like the twins strapped to their chest.
Zach's crying on the street about how he's like not getting invited to this baby moon,
which is like gay trauma. I feel like where it's like, oh, weird. You're not in a couple, so you're not invited. And then later, like, Jasmine isn't allowed to bring her girlfriend, right, but she's invited. So that's not true. We never even follow up on that.
I don't like that. That's why there needs to be a reunion. Like, I have questions.
There's so much that hasn't been addressed. Yeah. Like, because they just have too much footage.
They have too much footage. And, like, no one's actually trying to produce anything. They're just like, I don't know what's happening. We'll just see what, you know, we'll just, like, throw the show against the wall and see if it sticks. And it is, because it's way more entertaining than Vanderpump has been in years. But I don't know.
It's like the vibes of a live, like, comedy show where it's almost better if the wheels are off and, like, you know, it's like you have the feeling that this show could fall apart in any moment because it's like, it's fucking exciting. Like, yeah, you know, that no one's following up. The stories are so confusing. You mm-hmm. can't get to the root of anything.
Yeah.
Also, that just people are going so buck wild with their chance to be on TV, including the gay that Janet sends in to be her spy at Diamond. Kristen's events. So while Zach is crying and Jasmine is comforting him, Simon in these pink croc boots is staring like menacingly and like clearly transcribing all of it. They say they call him Harriet the Spy. And then they're like, he's being so obvious about it. They're like, are you recording this and reporting it all back to Janet? And he's like, well, she wants to know what's going on. And so then the next episode, the next scene is, you know, him and Janet's other friend, like, you know, reporting everything that happened. And they're like, well, Zach cried. It was, like, sad. And then Janet's like, oh, my God, I didn't want anyone to cry.
Yeah, that's her big thing, is like, I didn't want anybody to cry. But it's, like, so crazy that, like, season one, Janet already has, like, her gay minions doing her dirty work.
Yes.
Wow.
She's very, like, you know, it's like, I thought, it seemed like she, I was like, oh, it seems like she's playing, like, a low-key game. Like, she wants to be a favorite.
You know who but she reminds me of?
She's Stassi-coded.
No, she's giving me Lisa Vanderpump.
Oh, 4D chess coded. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I see that. Yes. I see that. But, like, viewers are too savvy for that now. You know, it's like, oh, do we want to support the girl who wants to, like, produce everything and, like, decide when we get information and from who? Or do we want to support Kristen, who's going to give us all the wrong information in every scene? Like, obviously, Kristen.
And I don't think that anybody on the show knows, because all of their lives are falling completely apart, except for
that's the thing. That's the thing. Like, Jax is, like, really good at harping on people. Even if he's not good at, like, following storylines, he usually can just, like, hammer shit home. But his life is falling apart, and there's so many other lives are falling apart on the cast. Mm-hmm. He's just dizzy. He can't, like, even keep it straight. So Janet is just getting away with murder.
Yeah.
And, so Zach calls her to tell her that he got his feelings hurt. And it was weird that she sent spies. Mm-hmm. And, like, Janet's like, wow, you're acting really entitled that you think that you would be invited to this ensemble
cast
that we're shooting.
And she has him on speaker. And, like, the gay guys
telling him,
are, like, listening. And they're just like, oh, my. And they're giving Zach faces.
Yes. I think, a big... my big plea, I know Jax is talking to Bravo about bringing in two other couples. I think we need more messy gay men,
yes,
please.
And it's okay to be gay and single, Janet. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, well, also, it's like, did Brittany make that up? Did Janet make that up? Because clearly it was bullshit. Why aren't we getting to the bottom of it? Finally, we do go on.
Yeah, maybe it was Kristen. I don't even know at this point.
Yeah, like, we do go on the baby moon, and Jasmine at least asks a couple of questions. Thank God. So they're in Big Bear. They're in, like, a really nice house.
Yeah, they're in Big Bear, and I thought this was, like, a big missed opportunity to cram 20 people into Rob Valletta's Airbnb in Big Bear.
And he's so thirsty. He would be down.
Yeah, he would do it. I would love to see all of these people in that tiny house, and I would still love Sheena to show up and read from that binder of rules. That would have been so
that
great.
That would have been fantastic. Yeah. And, like, yeah, give us more little nods to, you know, to Vanderpump Rules in the old days. We do get a big nod, though, when
Jack screams at Brittany. No.
Well, Jack screaming at Brittany, of course. But there's also a self-defense scene. Naya has been teaching the women self-defense.
Oh, yeah.
And so she has couples practice the moves that they learned. Michelle and Jesse were not in attendance, but we have to see them fight and actually hurt each other because we know they will.
Mm-hmm.
They start doing the fight. Instead of like doing the moves, she slaps him immediately. And then it escalates. It's like fake playful fighting, but actually like kind of
dark
and angry. And then he hits her right in the nose job.
Like, is this domestic abuse? And like, everyone's like, what, you know? And then luckily, well, not luckily, but like, this is also the chaos that we were talking about. That's maybe just the theme of the show. It's just chaos, because this same scene is then Brittany getting a text from her nanny who's watching their Cruz while Jax and Brittany are away. And Cruz is going to swim classes, and the video she sent, he was crying, which is very normal, by the way, for like a 2 or 3 year old to be crying during swim classes. It can be really scary. And, you know, Jackson starts yelling at Brittany, like, I don't want to see that. Like, why are you doing that? And all the women are like, oh, it's okay. Like, this is normal. Like, trying to comfort Brittany. Like, it's okay that he was crying. Like, and it is. Like, this is something that is totally normal. And he's freaking out at Brittany for showing this video, for playing the video. So, like, you know, we cut from, like, Jesse actually hitting Michelle to, like, Jax just berating his wife in front of all of their closest friends on vacation.
Yeah, it's intense. And then
also this trip. Okay, sorry. Real quick, did you notice Brittany was wearing her regular glasses and then her sunglasses over her glasses?
That's insane.
It was so, no one said anything. That's how insane this is.
There was just so much going on.
There was so much going on. That would have been 5 episodes on Vanderpump Rules. Like, why aren't you just putting your contacts, Brittany? No one talks about it. Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of accessories talk on this. Lots of accessories drama. The girls are all, they take a boat ride and they're all in the car together. Mm-hmm. And Brittany gets sick again, but this time she hasn't been drinking.
She hasn't been drinking. So what's your theory? Do I get to know?
Yeah, my theory is, so sometimes I feel like, you know, we're weak stomach girlies.
We are.
And if we're in a bad situation or a bad relationship, that can make us physically ill. I think Brittany's body is actually rejecting Jax.
That's right.
Like the alcohol isn't helping, but she's, I think that
she's like physically ill from like the way that he's treating her.
Yes. She has an allergy to him. Jax. Yes. And the only cure is kill him.
Or
get a divorce.
They can't do it though. They'll never get divorced.
I don't know. We'll get into the tea on them later. It's very disappointing that Jesse, messed up his wife's nose job, because he went into this trip. He came in kind of doing some character work. He came in to leave for the trip wearing a beanie, back from his ayahuasca trip. And it's like, I'm a new man.
I've changed, baby.
I've changed. I usually manipulate every situation I'm in, but I said, I'm not going to manipulate this one. Just the way he says this stuff so proudly. Mm-hmm. Like, he's such a proud sociopath.
And then Michelle's like, I'm different now. Okay. You know, okay. And then she begrudgingly gives him a hug. And she's like, basically saying, like, I don't really care if he's different or not. I'm just glad he was gone for 24 hours.
Yes. So then immediately when they get on the trip, he's, you know, physically fighting with her, chugging a bottle of tequila that he brought from home. He drinks the entire bottle, fighting the other guys to the point where he makes Danny cry. Then when Danny is like, hey, man, can you apologize? He storms off and hides in his bed.
Yeah, it was crazy, too. This trip, like, Jax was like, oh, can I have a beer? And they're like, no, dude, we only have straight liquor. Like, we only have straight vodka to, like, drink on the beach right now. I was exhausted.
Yeah, like, no mixers?
Yeah, no mixers. Just like, I don't even think they had cups.
They didn't have cups. They were chugging.
They were chugging alcohol on the beach, berating their wives. And I'm pretty sure Jesse was probably still tripping on ayahuasca.
Yeah. And so then Jesse being hiding in bed is a good opportunity for Jax. He's talked to the guys and they're like, we just need to, you know, confront him about this rumor that Michelle's been, you know, having an emotional affair, texting with this actor. We've got to talk to him about it. Again, very unclear who the rumor came from. Jax sits down, Michelle, and pretends it came from Kristen, even though we have video footage that it came from Jax. And then it's like, yeah, you know, apparently we've been having, she's lying, but you've been texting with this actor. And Michelle goes, no, that's
it's
true.
Yeah. And he's like, and sending like sexy pictures. And she's like, yeah, that's true.
And that's the end of the episode.
And it's just like, it's like, she's not even like, oh, who told you that? Like, you know,
nope,
what
she's
do you
like,
know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she doesn't seem like, I'm so embarrassed. She's like, yeah, it's true. Well, next.
Yeah. Let's talk about, so the finale is next week. What are your predictions?
For the finale?
Mm-hmm.
Well, one, I hope Kristen is in it and Zach somehow, but I think, well, we do know that Brittany yells at Jax for whatever reason. I've seen that in the trailer. Mm-hmm. I hope it's explosive, and I hope that we get some sort of closure on the season. It's really hard because, like, we are not getting a reunion. Like, we aren't really getting updates on what's happening to them from them right now. Like, there's a lot of stuff online. I know that Jesse and Michelle are both seeing different people now. I don't know what's really happening with Jax and Brittany.
I know a little. So Well, first of all, my predictions for the finale is what we do know about now is that Janet is not speaking to Zach or Kristen.
Right.
So I'm thinking there is going to be some kind of confrontation between Zach and Janet in the finale. And
I hope they show up to the house. That would be amazing.
God, I would love that. And hopefully he will, like, be able to, like, kind of get to the bottom of some of this stuff that Janet started that, like, no, she's been completely getting away with. And Jana has also been doing press saying that, like, this is so dark. She's been saying that Kristen and Zach, like, didn't care about her having a healthy pregnancy or whether she lost the baby.
Why would she, like, say that?
I was kind of like, oh, I love that she's a shit stirrer because everyone is, like, so mad at her and, like, everyone hates her. But I'm like, that is, like, fucked up.
I hope that's not true.
That's like Jersey level shit. Like, but anyway, so then, and that was just based on, like, that she was like, they didn't check on me enough and they wanted to have a dramatic season. It's like,
oh my
that's
God, you didn't
a wild extrapolation.
You didn't even invite them to things.
Yeah. You banned them. I think that the next episode will probably be the baby shower. So hopefully they crash the baby shower. That would be my
that's
hope.
Right. Cause Jasmine's planning the baby shower and Janet's being a bitch to her. And she's like, hey, like, stop it. Like, I'm planning a baby shower for you and you don't even fucking know it.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully Jasmine takes their side and we get a little. Well, would you? I want more than accountability. I want a few, like, fucking answers.
And
like,
I hope.
Who started the Michelle shit? What was really said about
why isn't
the
Brittany
Republican
wearing,
thing?
Why isn't Brittany wearing contacts with her sunglasses? And no one's saying anything.
I want answers. So then obviously Jax and Brittany have also since separated. So here is all the goss going on with that. Like Michelle said, I do not trust any, like, separations or cheating rumors anymore because there are so many false ones being leaked after Scandoball from Bravo people hoping to get famous.
We do need to work on your trust issues, Lauren.
But well, this one, we can take it offline. Yeah. This one is being, I keep seeing it being confirmed, so I think it is possible. And also because Jax is so messy, the rumor is he's been sleeping with his publicist, and this came out because
it was on Dumois.
It was messaged to Dumois at the same time that Jax was with his publicist and Sandoval in Canada. And someone messaged that Jax and the publicist went into the bathroom for, like, a long time. And then, you know, came out an hour later and they're probably fucking in there. And then after that, Brittany unfollowed both of them. Jax unfollowed the publicist.
She unfollowed Jax. They
fired the publicist. The publicist isn't in his bio anymore. And the publicist had been posting, like, pictures with him for, like, years, you know, like, very touchy feely pictures for years. And I haven't been keeping up with it because I don't want to, you know, get my hopes up and have my heart broken. She does seem kind of like his type. She reminds me a little of Carmen,
his PR Lori, his PR person.
She does have, I think, also a family.
Well, and Jax definitely has her name tattooed somewhere.
Yes, or her face.
I don't think he ever tattooed Britney to him.
No, you see, that's a sign that it's not meant to be.
Yeah.
And they are still doing their podcast together, but really hate each other, which makes me think it's possible that the separation will stick.
Yeah, I did. There was that, like, those weeks that I was really going through something. Remember when I was, like, leaving one job, going to another? It was a very stressful time in my life, and I told you I was listening to their podcast.
Oof, it's really dark.
They fight a lot.
Yeah. And I think the thing that's different now with them is that, like, or why I think it could be for real is because this is, again, from like a Janet interview, that Britney always like covered for him and always stood up for him, even though he's such a fucking asshole. But then when Jax went on House of Villains, which he bombed, by the way, Britney had a health scare. And this was also around the time that she got like work done on her lower face, and it left her with nerve damage,
which you do see in the valley the first few episodes. Her face, yeah, she talks about it, which we didn't even cover in this recap because so much has happened.
There's too much.
Yeah.
But she does have, and I do think this is also a somatic reaction to Jax, a permanent frown, which until he's gone, it will not turn upside down. And so then she had a health scare, she went to the hospital, Janet was with her, but they were like, it's fine. I think it might have been like, you know, just an anxiety thing. But then Jax was like, should I come home? And Britney was like, no, but it didn't matter. He got eliminated like first anyways. And then when he went to the reunion, he told everyone she'd had a stroke. And a ton of people like messaged her, you know, like, oh, my God, are you
like
okay?
Family, like her family messaged friends that she hadn't talked to. And they were like, I'm praying for your recovery. And she said that was like what made her be so upset, because she's like, I don't want people praying for me for something that didn't happen. And my husband to go on national TV and talk about something that's a lies. Rotten hell.
Yeah, and that was finally, you know, I don't know if it shows that they were already in a bad place that she would do that, or if he messed with her connection with the Lord and that's a bridge too far for her.
I have a theory on what's going on, though.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think one is the stress with their son having a developmental delay, and I can just relate to that as a parent with a child who is autistic, and I don't think Jax knows how to handle that, and that's actually very normal when this happens, but they're also
such a control freak.
Yeah, and this is like one thing you actually cannot control if your kid has some sort of delay. Like, you can get them therapy, which I'm glad to see that they did. They, you know, we see them get their son speech therapy. But I think it's really hard for Jax to be like, you know, I think maybe he's put a lot of blame on Britney for that, which, again, would not be her fault. It wouldn't be Jax's fault either if this happens. And also, I don't know if you remember when Britney and Jax were on VPR and she had put on some weight, and he was telling her family that she, you know, he didn't want to propose to her because she had lost her spark. Like, she, you know, she lost her sparkle.
And because he was drinking.
Weight. Yeah.
And he was talking about her drinking that season of Jax and Britney Take Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I don't think you could stay sober long enough to like have a baby. So I think maybe he worries about like her, you know, health problems from her drinking, you know, like his muddled mind.
And also that she's like gained weight because of whatever.
Yes,
I mean, weight gain happens, who gives a shit? But he's, and I think like that's part of it too.
He's not the type. He's the type that will only love you conditionally, you know, like girls are, women are a reflection of him, and he cares about that shit a lot because he's very shallow.
Yeah, he's extremely shallow.
Yeah, it's funny. My sister's you know, a speech therapist for kids with like, you know, whatever, apraxia, speech delays, all of that stuff. And she was saying like, yeah, his reaction was such a normal parental reaction, where he was like screaming at her, being like, stop, he needs to study, you're ruining his studying. Or really, it's like, they you know, it's fine, they need to like, you know, learn how to focus and do their exercises like in a normal environment. You know, so I do like really you know, kind of, it really humanizes him, his frustration, to show that like he does like care about his son a lot, which we never expected from Jax, for him to be a human man in that way. It's more than we get from Jesse, to be honest.
Yeah, like, but it is, you know, and I did empathize with Jax and Britney during that, because I, you know, again, like, I know what that feels like. And also, I mean, when we were going through my daughter's diagnosis, I was drinking more heavily. I was extremely depressed. I couldn't get out of bed. I had to get on a mood stabilizer. It's a very, you know, it is a grieving process when you realize that your child is not developing in a normal way. But also Jax, you know, Jax did all up and fucked it all up by going on then Instagram saying his son was started having regressions after being vaccinated. So any empathy I had kind of went out the window with that. There he is.
There's that inhuman freak. Yeah.
There's a guy that I know. There he is. Yeah.
And we're back. Okay, let's talk about.
And we're back.
So let's talk about predictions for next season. Yes. They are going to start filming soon. I think they pushed back Vanderpump Rules to the fall, and it's the same production team. So they're starting up.
Yeah,
soon.
They might actually try to produce the show now.
Yeah, which I don't know if that's for better or for
worse. I know,
worse.
I'm kind of scared.
I am a little worried.
I am too. I am too. But I also, I do have faith in Kristen and Jax and Brittany and Jesse to be able to make great TV. So I am hopeful.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful that it'll be good. I mean, honestly, it's got to be better than Vanderpump at this point.
It's still going to be better than Vanderpump. But I just am a little worried. The cast has been so real and raw. And with like a little more savvy under their belts. I worry about Michelle and Jesse because I do think that they, even though they have a bad marriage, I think they have a good working relationship. So I don't think we're going to see the same mess from them this next season.
But I think we're going to see mess from them, but it's going to be different.
Kristen's got to bring it out.
Well, you know, and Jesse's dating a woman who she auditioned to be on OC, Real Housewives of OC.
Yes.
So he's dating a thirsty bitch. So I think this could be really good.
I hope so.
I think it could be good.
I trust in him. I think he cast his girlfriend well. Like that's, you know, the type of thing he would
do. He met her at the Chateau Marmont, you know.
Oh my God.
Right behind his alley.
Ugh, Chateau.
I want to go.
I mean, it's just so funny, like, because it's like, it hasn't been, you know, it used to be like, you know, the Chelsea Hotel and the pinnacle of glamour, but it's been such a trash place, you know, and the fact that they still treat it like it's, you know, like the Ivy in the 1960s.
Well, like, remember like Lindsay Lohan used to be there. Ugh.
Yes. And I think that says it all. So a lot of people died there. Okay, so some motifs. I really enjoyed the motifs, especially the ones that pulled through from Vanderpump Rules, like
domestic
nose
abuse.
Jobs.
Oh.
Domestic abuse? Oh, well, yeah, I mean that. a constant in Bravo shows. Nose jobs being destroyed. Like, actually, we got a flashback from Jax after Michelle's nose job is almost destroyed that apparently his second nose job was from Brittany headbutting him in bed. And also James famously messed up Raquel's nose job, second nose job from like, well, we still kind of don't know why.
The ex member formerly known as Raquel.
Raquel, right. Rachkel.
Rachkel.
Another motif, seeing Brittany's accent get thicker and thicker
so
throughout
crazy.
Every season of her career.
Yeah. At first I was like, is her accent thicker this like on the Valley? Because I haven't seen her on TV in a while. But I was like, no, I just did a rewatch of VPR. I was like, is it because of the surgery she had? Like, was that affecting her accent? Or is she just like, I think maybe she thinks she gets more sympathy if she really leans into the Kentucky.
Yeah, I want date night, Jax.
Mm-hmm. I want
my stomach hurts.
I want to have my stomach hurts.
I don't feel good.
I don't feel good. I need a shot of tequila. I live for myself.
And just the juxtaposition of her between like Zach, her best friend growing up, who just talks normal like a normal guy.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so, yeah, I think that this reminds me a lot of Vanderpump Rules in the ways that I said, where it captures the viewer's experience and makes them feel better about their sad lives. And it's an explosive first season of real friends. There's like really lightning in a bottle here. And I hope it has the longevity of Vanderpump Rules.
It's so good because it's like so much happens that we're on any other show. Like the little things would be a storyline for like the whole season, you know, but like here it's like, oh wait, Jesse let his 3-year-old daughter drink like a margarita at like daddy daughter day, and like no one's ever it will never be
it's
brought
a one off line.
Yeah, he's like, oh, nap time, bye, you know. It's like, what? We
and
need
then,
to talk
yeah.
about this. You hit your wife. We need to talk about this,
but there's no time. Like, what is happening? And then like also that that this is now starting to happen on Vanderpump Rules too. And I hope that, I really hope production continues to go in this direction. This whole, most of the drama this season was about stuff that we decided wouldn't be said on camera.
Right.
And we get those, we get that acknowledgement, we get that breaking of the fourth wall. And that's what we need moving forward. And Vanderpump Rules, they probably would have tried to like cover it up and make it something about the restaurant, you know? But it's like, let's just say what it is. Yeah. Like, I don't have time for these shenanigans. We know it's a TV show.
Yeah. We don't have time.
This is the future, people.
Nia's boobs are leaking. We got to go.
Yeah, pick it up. Pick it up. I would say the theme of this show is the American dream is dead.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, it's been expressed many times through like boring satire on TV, but in reality TV, this is innovative.
Is it because, do you say that because like the American dream is like to be a homeowner and Kristen was a homeowner and now we see her back at 40 renting an apartment with a guy she's trying to have a baby with and he doesn't live there?
I think that her experience is closer to most viewers than any of the other people's. Yeah.
It's hard to be a homeowner. It sucks.
Yeah, we are so fucking lucky, Michelle. Okay. So one episode left.
We're homeowners.
There's Tuesday nights on Bravo.
So.
We're homeowners. And follow us, homeowners, on Instagram, TikTok, Bravo_breakdowns. Email us at bravobreakdowns@gmail.com with your value takes. Follow us, follow us, follow us. And now it's time for our final exams.
I'm ready and loaded.
So this is a 60-second segment, a pop culture essay on a topic of Michelle's choice. Michelle, you have 60 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now.
In this essay, I will prove that Bette Midler, even at like 105 years old or whatever age she is still like the best in the business at spilling the tea. She recently went on David Duchovny's podcast, which no, I do not listen to, but yes, I did read about it in Variety because I do read that. And no, I actually don't read Variety. It was a link from the Daily Mail. Anyway, she went on his podcast and said that doing her sitcom Bette, which I actually did watch in the 2000s, was a huge mistake. And what was a bigger mistake than doing that show was not suing Lindsay Lohan, who was a child actor at the time and did the pilot. And after doing the pilot, Lindsay Lohan like decided she didn't want to do the show anymore. And Bette Midler has gone on this podcast and talked shit about the show and mostly talked shit about Lindsay Lohan and how she very regrets not suing Lindsay Lohan when she was a child star.
Oh my God. The time. That, wow, so many revelations in that. First of all,
right?
I did not know about the show Bette. And second of all, I didn't know David Duchovny had a podcast.
I know.
Yeah. Ooh, wow. Wow, that was so edifying. A plus.
Yeah. It's like she left the show to do Freaky Friday and Mean Girls and The Parent Trap or something. Like,
why would you begrudge her that? Her only happy years.
Yeah. Like, begrudge her like a show you hated. I regret not suing this child.
Like, sue her mom.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
I want to sue her mom.
It was very Winifred Sanderson coded.
Did you know?
Children.
Have you seen the interview with? Have you seen the interview with Lindsay Lohan where she talks about? Okay, where she talks about, she's like, it was so hard because my dad had a secret growing up that made him feel so far away from our family. He was gay, but that wasn't it. It's that he wore a toupee, and that was so hard for us.
No, oh my God, that's so good. She's so good. But you know, they don't make them like they used to.
They really don't. An American treasure. All right, this is my final exam. 60 seconds on the clock. My time starts now. In this essay, I will prove. Did you know that there is a gay version of Love Island, the beloved British reality dating show, where kind of a thing happens? Everyone's hanging out and like kind of being friends, and then like kissing on an island, and it's really boring, but it's so relaxing. It's the best couples show to watch. Ariana is hosting the US version. They filmed this summer. That's why they're pushing back Vanderpump shooting, among other reasons. Well, there is a gay version called I Kissed a Girl and I Kissed a Boy. I Kissed a Girl is airing now. The premise of the show is you meet someone, you're partnered up with someone by the producers, and you guys kiss before even saying a word to each other. And then you hang out with like, you know, five other couples in the house, and they bring in heart stoppers who are like hot people and try to like have them shake up the cast. But it's BBC, so it's like very tame. And so, you know, that you don't get any like, you know, scissoring. Well, lesbians don't really scissor anyway, but you don't get any like anal in the gay version.
Yeah,
which, that
it's
is my one
very
complaint.
Tame. But they use the word cunt.
But they, well, cunt is okay and British.
Yeah.
And you should watch it.
Yeah.
That's my time.
Ooh, I want to.
public service announcement. You'll have to use a VPN.
A++++.
Okay. Well, we love you guys.
Wait, what
Follow
is my
us.
Grade? What's my grade?
I already said you get an A+ for edification.
Oh, thank you. I didn't know what edification is, so, you know.
Let's go out on a Bette Midler song.
Did I ever tell you you're my hero?
That's how we feel about the Valley. You're everything that I wish
I could be. You're the wind beneath my wings, Lauren.
Oh, you are too. And
I
Doty.
Love you. Yes.
You're
Doty. Doty. I don't care how many mountains you have to climb or fences you have to get over. Get yourself on screen this season for the Valley.
Get
season
that
two.
Wind beneath your wings and fly into Janet's
yeah.
window.
Yeah. Like sit in that dirt dumpster and scare people. Whatever you need to do. We will watch.
We believe in you, girl.
We love you.
We love you. Bye, Michelle.